Hi, you are now listening to a sermon from Harvest Community Church in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. Today you will hear a sermon from Pastor Frank Pizor. So without further ado, here he is.
All right, good morning. I would have to say that our greeting time was not very greeting-ish. So I'm going to ask you to stand up for a moment. I'm not going to ask you to do jumping jacks, but I'm just going to ask you to turn to the people around you and say good morning. Thanks for coming. A little cheeriness. Much better, much better. Feels a little bit more. This morning I want to talk about passing the torch on to the next generation. What we just witnessed here with all of our youngsters hanging out before us, that in a sense is our next generation for us. And I want to talk about passing that torch on to the next generation. But some of you might be in a little state of confusion because you're wondering, what is this next generation? And I want to be clear. First of all, it is not this next generation. And it is not this next generation. They all got older on that one, if you haven't noticed. The next generation. And now, I also want to be clear that the next generation doesn't necessarily mean age, but people who are coming behind us in a spiritual age, not a physical age, but a spiritual age. So someone could be 30 or 40 years old, but they can be part of the next generation because they just became a follower of Jesus. If you have your Bibles with you, if you want to open up your phones, no scores to check because games haven't started yet, but we're going to look at Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 5. I'll read that for us. And it reads this way. Paul went first to Derbe and then to Lystra, where there was a young disciple named Timothy. His mother was a Jewish believer, but his father was a Greek. Timothy was well thought of by the believers in Lystra and Iconium, so Paul wanted him to join them on their journey. In deference to the Jews of the area, he arranged for Timothy to be circumcised before they left, for everyone knew that his father was a Greek. Then they went from town to town, instructing the believers to follow the decisions made by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in their faith and grew large every day. Let's just take a moment. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and I'm going to give us about a minute to just kind of center ourselves and focus on a Jesus who's asking us to pass on what we have. Father, we're thankful that you're a God who does not stay silent. Although, I must confess, sometimes it sure feels like that you are very silent. But you have spoken. You've spoken clearly through the prophets, but most clearly through your living word, Jesus, whose example was to pass on the story of you, to tell it to his disciples, would then tell it to theirs, getting us to a place 2 millennia later where we're still telling this story. Father, I would ask today that as we reflect on your story, even in our own personal lives, even in our church, that what we would experience, what we would embrace, would take us deeper and deeper into your heart. And that what comes from us, an expression of your goodness, would be something that we would tell those who are around us over and over again, to those who follow and those who don't. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I picked up a book this week called Slow Theology. And they started out by just sharing that the church has always had a multiplicity of challenges that face us. You know, like in the beginning, there was persecution. All throughout history, there's wars. There's corruption in the church, conflict within the church, conflict with outside the church. It's all over. These challenges, they were real then, and they're real today. And I think some of the biggest challenges that we face in the world that we live in now is a lot of conflict, even in our own country, not just the church, but in our own country, where we seem to be at the brink of war with each other. But I think that there's a greater challenge that the church faces. It's not the persecution, it's not the conflict within or the conflict that is outside the church. It's something a little bit deeper. And I think that challenge for us is a church that passes on an anti-fragile or resilient faith. A faith that can withstand anything, no matter what, and still continue to pursue God. Basically, what is our need as a church and any church anywhere is to be able to take this bragging rights that we have about Jesus and who he is and pass it on to someone else. Now, to help you get this kind of as a word picture or an object lesson, I need some volunteers. So I've already asked some people. So if you haven't been asked, don't freak out and don't panic. And I'm going to ask you, so I would need Randy to come up here first. Randy Moy. The beauty of grace, you don't do anything and yet you still get love. We do love you. Okay, and after that, then I need Chris. Chris Kim. Scott Choi. So I'm going to move. Hopefully I won't ruin anything. Chris, I'm going to ask you to stand about right there. And Scott, you're going to stand about right there, somewhere by that, by Debbie. And then Drew. Drew, where art thou? All right. Drew, you want to stand over there by the thermostat? And let's see, Jolie. Not Jolene from the Dolly Parton song, but Jolie. You can stand by Grace. And then James Yao. And then finally, Ezra, back where I pointed to earlier. Okay, so the beauty of this, if you haven't noticed, is decades. And passing it on. All right. Now, Grace, you are well positioned. All right. Don't get scared. I'm just going to ask you to turn off the lights for a minute. Oh, we could do that too. Wow, isn't that a miracle? Okay, so now we have a light that we need to pass on. Your mission, Randy, without moving, other than using your hands, is to get this light to Ezra. Wow. Which I'm glad you said that, because one of the things you can also not do is throw it. Because I can imagine this flying and then hitting the curtains and suddenly we have a fire emergency. We don't need that. Now, the same thing goes for you. When you get it from Randy, you cannot move. Somehow we have to get it to Ezra.
So I can't move.
You cannot move. Chris cannot move. Oh. Scott cannot move. Drew cannot move. Joe cannot move. James cannot move. But Ezra needs to get this. You got to pass this on, bro. You got to figure that we're facing challenges here, man.
If I had known this, I would have.
Phone a friend. Phone a friend. Okay, fine. I will help you. This is a good discipleship lesson, by the way.
I see.
Phone a friend. So thank you for calling me. I appreciate this.
All right.
What we need is proximity. If you're going to pass something on, you have to have someone who is close to you. The way we are now is spread out a little too far. So now we're going to ask our other live action figures to move a little bit closer. Come on, a little bit closer. Ezra, you can move on over too. We are going to get this light over to Ezra. All right, notice the proximity. But Ezra, we're going to have you stop about right there because you guys are a little too close. Because you want to be a little bit more. Okay, can we do this? James, man, you must have some long arms, brother. Joe, keep going a little bit more. Okay, and if not, okay, ready? We good? All right, there you go. Pass the light, my brother. Well, no, you got to take it, man.
I can't move.
You can move your arms.
Oh, okay.
You can move your arms. There we go. All right, that's good. Oh, this is so beautiful. Oh, yeah, there we go. Nice. All right, there we go. Pretty simple. Thank you, gentlemen. Nobody got embarrassed. Sermon's over. I'm just kidding. I do that because you can blow it out. You can turn the lights back on, Grace, and Ezra, you can blow it out because we don't need a fire here. Oh, boy. Man, I liked it better the other way. This is just a simple illustration of what it means to pass it on. It's one generation passing it on to the next generation, and the way it works is that sense of close proximity. You really cannot help someone grow in their discipleship in following Jesus unless you're near them. It's not something that you can do from a distance. It's something that requires a life on life. And we're going to see what Paul does in this passage in order to bring Timothy along in his discipleship is invite him into proximity. He's going to say, come into this journey with us. And we've already seen that in verse 3, right? It says what? Paul wanted Timothy to join them on their journey. So what did he do? He said, proximity. For you to learn how to follow Jesus, you have to be with me. So I'm going to invite you on this journey. Now, Timothy was not a random choice. And so I have up here on one of the slides, if we're going to pass the torch to somebody, we have to pass it to the right people. You're going to notice also that when you have the right people doing the PowerPoint slides, it looks better. So Kaylee did them this week. I did not, but you can see the vast improvement over the two of us. But I say that because I want us to understand the right people. Again, Timothy was not a random choice. Paul was not like, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Because they needed to replace John Mark. Because that's the context of what's going on. He needed someone whom they could grow in the faith, passing it on to the next generation, so that this generation would then take that torch and pass it on to the next generation. Why is he picking Timothy? Because in verse 2, it's pretty simple, pretty clear. Timothy was well known by the believers in Lystra and Iconium. He had a very good reputation. In contrast to John Mark, I think in some ways, and I wonder, I don't know, I'm just imagining, but I'm wondering if Luke is like, yeah, that John Mark guy left us, but now we got this guy who's clutch, this Timothy guy. There's a contrast. See, where he was not faithful, this Timothy guy has a reputation, and it's a good reputation, and the people in these cities know who he is and what he's done. They've observed him. They've watched him. They know. This guy, Timothy, he's faithful. He is trustworthy. It's part of the philosophy, I think, of Paul's ministry in raising up people for the next generation. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, Paul writes to this same Timothy, and he says, "You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others." You see, Paul here then is saying this. Proximity is very important, but you want to have this proximity that is with the right people. You don't just randomly pick people, but you pick people that you know who are going to be faithful. And so you have four generations of believers in 2 Timothy chapter 2 because you have Paul, who passes it to Timothy, who passes it to a faithful person who's going to pass it on to someone else. Do you see that? Faithful, pass it on, pass it on, pass it on. You saw it in Randy, Scott, Chris, Drew, Joe, James, and Ezra. It's a passing on of that light. That's what we need to do. If we don't pass on what we have in our journey with Jesus, it stops. Now, we all know that it's not going to stop because of the movement of God. But God invites us to be a part of this movement and to pass on what we have to the next generation. It's always passing the torch on. We are here today because someone else passed the torch on to someone else. It reminds me today, when we even watch what we saw here earlier, it reminds me of Tuba City and how we taught the teens to be able to teach their faith, to pass it on to someone else. It's what we're seeing right now next door and what we saw here, where the teens are passing on their faith to someone else. It's what we see when we go to Rhode Island. It's a process of passing on the torch and seeing us get involved in the kingdom of God and seeing it growing. Now, does this mean it will be perfect? Because when Paul is saying, listen, I'm picking you, Timothy, because you have a reputation, but there are other people that Paul chose, and it didn't work out as well. So if you read in Scripture, at one point, Paul says about Demas, near the end of his life in 2 Timothy, he says, this Demas guy left me because he still loved the world. So when you're looking to pass the torch on to somebody, you're not looking for the perfect person. Anyone perfect here? I mean, I know you're not going to admit it, but none of us are perfect. That's the reality. Even this week, myself, I met the toxicity of my soul in full force. And even yesterday, I was so tired, I looked inside myself, and I said, brother, you are toxic, man. You're in a bad place. You got to work on this. So it's not a call to perfection. It is a call to faithfulness. Not perfection, but faithfulness. Because even in our failings, we can still be faithful because he is faithful. So Paul's call to Timothy is a call to be faithful in following him in this. Now, here's something else that I also want us to understand, is that the people that we choose to pass our faith on to can be just about anyone who's following Jesus. Because this is not about position. It's not about leadership only. It's about where this person is in their spiritual journey. So, for instance, if we started with Randy, and Randy had just become a Christian, and Chris was on the verge of becoming a Christian, Randy is in front of him on this journey, but he can come alongside him, be in proximity with Chris, and lead him to Jesus. So you don't have to be looking for perfect people, but faithful people. You don't have to be someone who went to seminary, but you can be someone who simply loves Jesus and has and takes the opportunities to share this Jesus with people who are a little bit further behind you in the journey. And that could be, you could be in your 20s, and you could be leading someone in their 30s, or 40s, or 50s, or 60s. So what Jesus here, what Paul here is showing us, this pattern of passing on the torch. Because in the end, what you will see in Timothy, as you read all of Scripture, Paul writes two letters to Timothy and then includes him in several other letters that they're writing to other churches. Paul met his faithful person. That faithful person walked with him in the journey, and he was passing it on. So what we need are the right people, but we also need the right heart. We also need the right heart. And this is important. This is not in the text here, but it is in Scripture. And what I want you to see is this. How does Paul view Timothy? How does Paul view Timothy? This is what he says. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, he says, I am writing to Timothy, my true son in the faith. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, he says, I'm writing to Timothy, my dear son. If you had to guess how Paul viewed Timothy, you would say Paul viewed Timothy as a true and dear son, someone who was close to his heart. I have a Timothy in my life. He is also my son. He is dear to me. He's important. He matters. His birthday was yesterday, so if you want to wish him a happy belated birthday because you forgot, feel free to do so. He, unfortunately, is in Florida, and I am not. Well, I mean, I like being here, too, but you know what I'm saying. I like warmer weather. Well, what Paul is saying is, Timothy, this guy that I have chosen among the crowd over the years has grown very important to me, very dear to me. And this connection that they have is the kind of heart that you have to have if you want to pass the torch to the next generation. Passing information is not what Paul is about. Paul is not saying, I want to take Timothy through the kind of seminary that I went through, and I'm going to teach him systematic theology. I'm going to teach him biblical theology. I'm going to teach him how to study the Bible. I'm going to teach him how to preach. I'm going to teach him all these things. No, what Paul was inviting him to was not to seminary, but to a lifestyle. To a journey. Now, when you hear passing the torch, a lot of us freak out because we haven't gone to seminary, or we're not a pastor, or we're not an elder, or we're not a deacon, or we're not this. And all that really it is, this passing of the torch, is just saying, this is how I brag about God. This is how I know God more deeply. And I want you to take from me what I have learned so that you can pass it on to someone else, so that you can pass it on to someone else. But you have to have the right heart. Paul had this heart for Timothy. But the crazy thing is, because sometimes I think when we view Paul as someone who's stern. He's tough, man. He's type A. I mean, he's yelling at John Mark because he quit kind of thing. And yet, he's really actually a very tender-hearted person. Listen to what he wrote to the Thessalonians. He said to them, and this is how much he cares for them. We were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. Can you kind of grasp the heart of Paul for the people that he's passing the torch onto? How he's saying, if you can imagine a mother and how they embrace their child as they feed their child and the look of love that exists there, you're beginning to understand, Thessalonians, what it is like and how much I love you. If you understand what it is like to actually be in proximity and live with someone through thick and thin, through clean and dirt, through all that stuff, you're beginning to understand my love for you, Thessalonians. Thessalonians, if you understand how a father looks at their children, then you understand. And I don't know who it was. Someone's young kid was like turning 10 years old or something, and they're panicking about them going off to college. Because they love their kids. Like, man, they're going to college soon. And I'm thinking, man, mine is 2.5 years away. And I'm trying to think of ways to sabotage her going to college. Because I don't want her to leave. I don't want any of my kids to go away. Especially the one that did the PowerPoint that's sitting right there wondering, why are you leaving me out of this? But I just sit there and I have such a deep-seated, like, strong desire, as we talked about in our small group yesterday, to see my children be better than me. I think that's kind of the heart of Paul. Paul isn't sitting there thinking, hey man, I want to be known as the greatest apostle. I think Paul understood the way for me to be known is that someone takes what I have taught them and they pass it on to a faithful person who passes it on to another faithful person, so that not what I'm known for is, wow, you are a great disciple, but that you love Jesus and you passed it on. That is what I want. I want my children, not just physically, not just emotionally, not just mentally, but also spiritually, to get to a place where they are better than me. And my legacy is not measured in all the things that everyone thinks, but it's measured in how closely they walk to Jesus and they pass it on to someone else. You see, the torch that we are passing on is not one for our own recognition, like, look at my great children that I have, but it's look at the great grandchildren and the great-great-grandchildren, and on and on and on. Because I think Paul took seriously Jesus' command to go and make disciples. Not converts. Jesus is not about making just converts. Not, hey, they said the prayer. Hey, they got baptized. They don't live like it, but it doesn't matter because they did all those other things. No, what really brings joy to the heart of God is when the church, facing all the challenges that it actually faces, has an anti-fragile, totally, absolutely resilient faith that they keep passing on from generation to generation. That generation might very well be living in your home right now, parents. That generation may be over there someday as youth group members that you may want to participate in. Or they might be college students, as we have sitting here. They might be young adults who are sitting behind the college. Isn't that kind of interesting? You're passing it on, right? It's not just about age. It's about where you're at in your journey. Let me finish with this. I'm going to give you an assignment. So I'm going to ask you to pull out your phones. I know there's probably a few of us, I ain't pulling out my phone. That's fine. But I'm going to ask you to pull out your phones. And I'm going to ask you, who is someone that God may be leading you to? Because I guess this is one thing I left out. Shame on me. But I really think, not only was Timothy not a random choice, I really think that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, spoke to Paul to choose this Timothy. But I'm going to ask you now, who is someone that God would speak to you about that you should be passing the torch on to? I'll give you 30 seconds to say, God, is there someone? If you're a parent, your assignment's over, your kids. Go outside of that. There may be someone at your workplace. There may be a neighbor. And let's not forget our one campaign, because that one person that God may be calling you to be with, in close proximity with, is that one person. One person that you want to start thinking about, preparing for, and then walking in front of them, taking by on the hand, and leading them closer to Jesus. And may one day they get in front of you. That would be great. Now, I'm going to ask us to bow our heads and close our eyes. Put your phones away, because here's something that I'm going to challenge you with. Because you might have written down a name, and you might have said, I'm just going to do it because you're telling me to. Or you might have written down a name and said, man, I am not in that place, which is why I would ask this. Are you faithful? And I'm not saying that in a condemning way. I'm not wanting to point my finger and say, you're not faithful, shame on you. No, what I want to say is this. As we talked about a few weeks ago, when Jesus talked to the church at Sardis, and he said to them, y'all have some gaps. Let's fill them. And if you have gaps right now in your life and you're thinking, I can't pass on this faith, there is nothing stopping you from saying, stop. I'm going to look at my heart. And God, speak to me. Grow me. Strengthen me. Help me grow in my love for you, my desire for you, so that what I have, I can pass on to someone else, who will pass it on to someone else, who will pass it on to someone else. You can be a spiritual parent, grandparent, and great-grandparent, even now moving forward. But if you recognize that you're not that person you need to be, my next question is, what are the things that God wants you to do, the simple things God wants you to do to just start walking? Just start walking. I'll give us about a minute just of silence. I'll pray for us, and then we can invite the worship team up. A shallow confession, I have to admit that I didn't see my wife come up and play the piano. It's kind of like a ninja. It scared me when she started playing. So I hope if you saw my reaction, it was because I was like, wow, how'd she get up here? And let me pray for us. Father, you have called us to something much greater than ourselves. You've called us to something that lasts and is eternal. A lot of the things that we build down here, even if we're just building a church for the sake of building a church and a legacy, or if we're building a business, or if we're building a great family, or whatever it is, can be so temporal that a couple hundred years from now, no one will even remember. But we will never forget your kingdom. And have all of eternity to continue to look back at the building blocks of your kingdom that in part you invited us to join you, to work with you, to see people know you and make you known, to see people hear your story and then brag about your goodness and how you are good. So I pray, Father, simple message, no real challenge, but it really is actually very challenging because you're calling us to die to ourselves, to our thinking, to our way of living, to a new way of thinking and a new way of living, renewing our minds, taking captive those thoughts that keep us from fulfilling the purpose that you've called us for, to be your people, to follow Jesus, to make disciples, to love you, obey you, glorify you. So I pray that what would be planted today is a seed and a desire and a longing for a deeper relationship with you that in turn passes that torch to the next generation, who will pass that torch to the next generation, and who will pass that torch to the next generation. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon from Harvest Community Church. If you would like more information or have any questions or comments, check out our website at harvest-community.org. Thanks for listening.